this. Oh Lord, hold my hand while I run. Oh Lord, hold my hand while I run. Hey, oh Lord, hold my hand while I run. Lord, I don't want to have to run this race in vain. Oh Lord, guide my feet while I run. Please Lord, guide my feet while I run. Hey, oh Lord, guide my feet while I run. 'Cause I don't want to have to run this race in vain. Here's another thing, oh Lord, speak for me while I run. Please Lord, speak for me while I run. Oh Lord, speak for me while I run. Say Lord, I, oh Lord, I, say Lord, I don't wanna run by myself. I don't wanna talk by myself. This mean old world gets cruel sometimes. I don't want to move by myself. Say, Lord, I don't want to have to run this race in vain. Oh, Lord, hold my hand while I run. Please, Lord, hold my hand while I run. Hey, oh Lord, hold my hand while I run. 'Cause I don't want to have to run this race in vain.
Trying to wait until the pastor returned, but in his absence, I have the honor of introducing our speaker for today, Deacon Brian E. Jones. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Deacon Jones. Deacon Jones was born in Newark, New Jersey, to John Lambert Jr., his father, and Delise Jones, his mother. He has three daughters, Annalise, Ananda, and Anaya Jones. Deacon Jones was ordained as a deacon October 2003 at the Apocenian Baptist Church under the pastorate of Reverend Dr. Perry Simmons, Jr. He is employed by the Department of Public Safety as a correctional lieutenant at Wake Correctional Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Deacon Jones is a member of the National Baptist Convention, USA, Incorporated, and serves in the following capacities: Layman's Movement Evangelism Ministry statistician, prison ministry Southeast regional commissioner, scholarship ministry Southeast regional coordinator, teaches on a national level, and at the Southeast regional Walter K. Jr. workshop. Deacon Jones is the first vice president of the Layman's League of the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, Incorporated. He is also the president of the Northampton County and Vicinity Missionary Baptist Association Layman's League. Deacon Jones is a disciple of the Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church, where he serves in the following capacities: Deacon's Ministry, Layman's League President, Sunday School Teacher, Pastor's Aid Ministry, Noonday Prayer Ministry. Most important, and above all else, Deacon Jones is a born-again baptized believer and a servant in the kingdom for his Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Hear ye him, Deacon Jones.
I wasn't there when you walked on the water. I wasn't there when you made the blind man see. I wasn't there when you preached up on the mountain. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. I wasn't there when you taught them how to pray. I wasn't there when you calmed the raging storm. I wasn't there when you fed the 5,000. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. I wasn't there when he died out on Calvary. I wasn't there when he rose from the grave. I wasn't there when he ascended on up to glory. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe.
Oh, I believe that he's coming back for me. I believe that he's coming back for you. Out of all those things that you say about me, I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. Oh, I believe that he's coming back for me. I believe that he's coming back for you. Out of all those things you say about me, I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. Oh, I didn't see, I didn't hear, I believe.
I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. I wasn't there when he washed my sins away, but I believe. I wasn't there,
I didn't hear,
when they whipped him all night long. They put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. I wasn't there, but I believe.
I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe.
Amen, amen. How many of you believe on this morning? Let's give this male chorus a round of applause on this morning. Amen, amen. We want to thank Brother Stephen and Brother DeVito for letting the Lord use them on this morning. Isn't God good on this morning to you? Amen, amen. We just thank God for his greatness, for God being the God who he is. First, we want to wish all our laymen a happy National Layman's Observance Day on this morning. We just thank God for this privilege. First of all, of being a man on this morning, this privilege of servitude. We give honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of our lives, to our beloved pastor, the Reverend Edward Horsley, to our lady elect, Mrs. Horsley, to Minister Mitchell, to our worship leader, Deacon Winstead, to Minister Scott, to Reverend Evers, to our brethren and sisters in Christ. It is good to be here on this morning. We just give all praise to God because God is worthy on this morning.
Amen.
Ushers, you may be seated, and thank you for what you do. We want to again thank this choir. We want to thank everybody who's played a part on this program on this morning, and it's good to see all of your friendly faces on this morning. So let us pray. Most righteous God, it's again we come before your presence and say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for, first of all, this privilege of servitude, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to let Jones decrease, Father God, so you can increase and be glorified in all what we say and do. These blessings we ask in the majestic name of Jesus the Christ. Amen, 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 and amen. On this morning, we bring you greetings from our National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated. We bring you greetings from Dr. Jerry Young, his cabinet of officers. We bring you greetings from Deacon Willie Burke, our layman's president. Greetings from our state layman's president, Deacon Anthony Hagens. And it is just, again, good to be here on this morning. This is a special morning. Across this country right now, laymen, men of God, are wearing should be wearing a black suit, a white shirt, and a red tie. If you're not wearing that, it's no big deal, because that's just cosmetic stuff. It's just this point of laymen lifting up their hands in holy praise and coming to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And with that being said, as we look amongst our pews on this morning, with all the churches in this great United States of America, we're going to find some empty seats and some pews that are empty. Because on this morning, right now, Brother Pastor, we got some men that have stayed home, laid up in the bed. Somebody's going to wash a car on this morning. Somebody's making plans, if it's either the Redskins or the Panthers, to go. Instead of giving some praise and worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning, they're going to get on 95 or whatever to press their way to Charlotte, or to press their way to Virginia, to FedEx Stadium. So God has called us, and there should be an acknowledgement by every man here that God has called every man to service. I can't fathom on this morning or even understand what man, and this message is most of the time when I come and speak, it's universal, but today we're going to target men. What man would not want to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? When we think about on last night how God laid these bodies down, let us sleep through a safe night, and we was unconscious, woke us up this morning, provision of food, clothing, and shelter. For some of us, it was to pick what suit we wanted to wear this morning, and even what vehicle we wanted to drive to church on this morning. And then God has blessed us, men, to come out to this beautiful edifice, what we call the Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church. So on this morning, we're going to look at God's reasonable service to man. I'm going to read my scriptures to get that out of the way. The scripture will be coming from Romans 12. The whole body of scripture is 1 through 21, but we're not going to be reading, Brother Pastor, all 21 verses for you, so you don't have to worry about that. Let's get into these scriptures. We're going to read 1 through 5. Then we're going to read Genesis 2, 15 and 16, and a portion of that verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transform by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Now Genesis 2, 15, 16 through A. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. As God has shown his mercy on us, men, we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This temple which God has given us is a holy place. So we need to remember that this body is a body that has been sanctified. And when we look at sanctification, that means to be separated. Now, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 7 reads, because it is written, be ye holy because I am holy. Now, if God can state for man to be holy because God is being holy, then we should remember at no time should we defile this temple. Now, I don't tell grown folks how, when we talk about drinking and we talk about smoking, it is what it is. You say what you say. I only say, for whatever I say, I always say, look in the Holy Writ. Whatever God says, I don't question. I don't moderate it. I don't say I do this a little bit and do that a little bit. If you're defiling your temple, whatever it means, you're defiling this temple. And you got to look at the moralistic concept of what we talk about, whatever we do to defile this temple. All right. Now, I took the temple as we know, when God created man, God knew that man was alone. So he put man to sleep and took a rib from his side. Now, see, that's key when we start talking about a temple here, that God didn't take the rib of the man from behind the man. He took it from the side. So that means my common sense intelligence tells me that a woman is equal on my side. So if she is part of this temple, what we're talking about, that means her temple needs to be respected. So when we talk about that, we need to remember that every woman, I'm going to speak for women, and then y'all can tell me if I can't speak for y'all, that every woman in here, whether you're single or married, you're dating, you do not want to be verbally, emotionally, or physically abused. So that temple, when we look at your temple, you women are part of this temple. Every woman wants a man of God, and that's where it starts at, a man of God to respect their temple. Now, when we respect that temple, we can realize that together we can do so much in kingdom work. Now, the temple, that's where it starts. It has to start with your temple, making sure as a man of God that you are where you need to be at, all right? And then I got to put this, again, to finish up this part with the women. Also, a woman doesn't want a man, brother pastor, even though, no, you don't fall in this category, just to say that you love her. Tell that woman that you're in love with her and show her that you do love her. That it's just more than you just saying, I love you, because a lot of men who have a talk game could tell you that they love you, but when it comes down to it, they're just talking a good game. All right, remember, men's reasonable service to God. So part of that reasonable service is this temple, presenting it as holy unto God. All right? Now, men, we shouldn't be like the world. There should be, once we come, whether it took place in a church, whether where you recognize when Jesus called you to be part of this royal family, that there should be a spiritual transformation. That old man should change. As in saying that old man should not still be doing the same things that he's doing. You should have a renewed mind. And matter of fact, when you hear preaching and teaching of the word of God, your mind should be renewed from that point right there. It shouldn't be that I always say your age factor doesn't mean, I know people older than myself, and that really doesn't mean it spiritually. That the man of God should be a change in you. I need to see you growing. I don't need you to be at 70 years of age and still be a milk type of Christian. I need you to be either filet mignon or whatever you need to be, but you need to be at a spiritual maturity level growing in this word of God. All right? In a transformation is as we see, because of the power and love of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, all right? Remember, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. I mean, and that's the sense of, I always take that back to the way you are when you're at a barbecue, when you're around family, because your family knows how you are for husbands, and your wife knows how you are. I mean, you should be a man who, like I said, shouldn't be caught up in your old man stuff. You should have some growth spiritually. And that growth is going to take when you can get into that Bible, beyond, like I always say, I teach this to junior layman, the relationship you have with Jesus Christ on your own time, all right? Not when you come in here, like I said, for some of us, I could look at some Bibles right now and tell that you're into that Bible. Then other folks, Bible looks brand new to me. Like I always say about that, maybe you have multiple Bibles. I don't know. But for some of us, how do your knees look? Do you need knee pads? Or if I look at your bare skin knees, are they worn out and beat up because you on your knees constantly praying? And don't get me wrong, you can pray standing up. I have prayed standing up. Got to pray at my place of occupation where I work at. You can pray sitting down in a chair. But I want, it should be some type of renewal of your mind. And that renewal is coming from, again, from Jesus Christ. So remember, this is a reasonable service. Reasonable service to God. It's nothing more that God isn't asking from you that he should. And remember, as God gives, I can't even put the number on it. As man talks about, we have some teachers in here talking about a grading system of 100. God's best can't be based upon that meter, because it wouldn't be, I guess it's a number out there in affinity, whatever number you want to take. For man, we need to step up and just give, instead of giving God mediocrity, we need to give God our best. All right. Amen. We must be in a state of humility, and we must be modest in all that we do. All right. When pride comes, then comes grace. But with humility comes wisdom. That comes from Proverbs 11:2. All right. And that's talking about, being humble. All right. Now, the word humility is defined as a state of being humble. And in the Greek, the word is humilis, meaning of a low state. So we look at, I'll take myself for example. God has blessed me with so much. God has blessed me with some education. God has blessed me to serve in this capacity. He's given me some civic stuff to serve in. But I never get that high, because I always remember, as many places God has put me, God can bring me down from any place that he has put me. So my ego isn't that caught up into what I'm doing in kingdom work, or even in my place of employment. We need to all remember, as men of God, that some of us hold it out in the secular world positions. But don't get it twisted or get it wrong. When you get pushed up in front of Roanoke Salem, God's not going to call your titles. As a matter of fact, God's not thinking about your title right now. Only thing God wants us to do as men is to serve him. He needs the title in front of your name to be servant. That's what kind of title that all men should be striving for. And no matter how high we get amongst man, or even brother pastor in kingdom work, we have to remember that we have to stay at a low state so God can use us. God can't get that. God can't use us when we think that we know more than God. Because quiet is kept. We have some people, and I'm not picking on those who've gone to seminary, because they don't even take that. We got some preachers right now who, and again, brother pastor, not picking on preachers. Those who have, whether you're pastor, preacher, whatever you do, we can't think that we come before God, that we know more than God, because we don't. No matter how many letters you get behind your name, you never going to know more than God. So let us remember that. And we all need to pray, whatever we do, God, keep me humble. That's right. Because if I'm kept humble, I could be used. Amen. All right? So to the men, let's not think of ourselves that highly, better than no one. Even again, humility is in a relationship. You got a wife. You shouldn't think that you're better than your wife, because some men that spot out your mouth because I'm the man. No, because are you a Christian man? Can she look up to you? Should she respect you just because you put some pants on? And I say that about everything. A lot of men put pants on, and then a lot of men older than 21. But are they really a man? You know, that's what you need to look at. And are they a Christian man? That should be the main thing. I mean, I could say I'm the man all in one. Like Brother Pastor said, he doesn't cry a lot. And I can even think about myself. I didn't cry when my mother passed. My daughter asked me that. But it's not a point of that I'm not too much of a man that I can't cry. But what I'm saying is, every man, let God be the man in your life. Then you can be the man in a woman's life. Amen. All right, remember, this is a man's reasonable service to God. Here's a little teaching moment we always try to throw in, Brother Pastor. Every pastor is, a pastor is not a layman, so we need to understand. Even though pastor's a man, pastor puts on pants, every ordained licensed clergy is not a layman. So that would mean our pastor's not a layman. So we look at who are laymen, deacons, ministers, all the rest of us brethren in church are laymen. So we have a common cause. When we look at that, all men in the church won't be called to preach. Every man won't be a pastor. Every man won't be an usher. But God has given all of us a gift to do something for kingdom work. Amen. So if the pastor's been called to be the under-shepherd, because that's what he is, deacon's been called to be his armor bearer, usher's been called to be the doorkeeper. So the pastor can't tell the usher how to be a doorkeeper. Usher can't tell the pastor how to preach. It's all functioning parts. We got different parts for one common cause. All right? And in that, we need to remember, if the pastor can ask God to help me to be a better under-shepherd, the pastor doesn't need to try to tell the deacon what to do. Now, deacon doesn't need to tell the pastor what to do. The deacon needs to stay in his lane. We all need to stay in lanes, because when we start crossing lines, that's when the chaos and the confusion begins. All right? Every man has a place to be in. All right? Every Christian man. I got to emphasize this, because that's who the message is to. It is to Christian men, and it's to all men. That all God has given every man a gift. He needs that gift to be exercised, all right? Men's reasonable service to God. Now, I always like to talk about love, wherever we go, all right? Now, here we go. Love should be displayed the way God displays his love for us. And that love is in an unconditional form. We don't play favorites. We don't pick how we're going to love and all that and change it up to fit the degrees of love. What benefits us? We need to show our brother and sister an agape love. And that's what that means in the Greek. The word agape talks about an unconditional love. All right? Men, you should see that it doesn't make you more less of a man if you could tell another man. God bless him, our late pastor. Used to tell him, brother pastor, I love you. Tell our current pastor that I love him. Man, it's not a lessening of a man to tell another man that he loves him. It should be some man in your life as a man that you do love, all right? Whether it's been somebody who has set an example for you growing up, it could be son to father, it could be grandson, it could be whatever relationship you have, we need to be able to show some type of love as a man, all right? And then that filial love, bro, pastor, we talk, and that comes from the Greek also, that's brotherly love. That's where the first part of Philadelphia comes from, the city of brotherly love. We should have a universal brotherly love for everyone. Because with that brotherly love, when our brother is down, we can pick him up. That's right. All right? And that's the purpose. And that's what this is all about. It's just not all about coming and just gathering and forget. What about that brother or sister after when we leave church who needs somebody? Somebody needs some picking up. We got persons who come to church right now, they may be smiling, skinning, and grinning, but really they tore up in the inside, and they need somebody who they can trust, and it's all about the trust factor, who we can talk to. I need you to pray for me. Don't want everybody praying for me. It's only certain people, got prayer warriors. I can call, they know whom they are in my life, and there's certain people you call on. You don't need anybody praying for you. Like with everything else, Brian Jones doesn't stand or sit in judgment of anyone, but I don't need everybody praying for me. And I know my spirit man tells me that I don't need everybody praying for me. But what I do need is to have you pray words of encouragement. And like I said, with that love piece, picking somebody who's down and out, pick them up and bring them up. Amen. All right? Amen, Brian. Man's reasonable service to God. And all that we do, and what we're called as men, we're going to go to that Genesis 2:15 and 16 part. When I read that to you, we're going to look at Eden as the world, the church, in your home, all right? Whatever God has called us to do as men of God, we should have a zeal and an energy and a diligence, not slothfulness. The word talks about being slothful. Some of us men, like I said, if the man would call on Saturday and say that I got some overtime for you, you press your way to work. You said I got some overtime for you to work tomorrow from 7 to 1, talking about on a Saturday. But yet, slowful coming to Sunday school or Bible study. Now, remind you, think about that. If Sunday school is at 9:30, some of y'all have been at work on a regular work week 2 hours if Sunday school is coming on, has come and gone. So that's what I'm saying. And all that we do, men of God, let's have a zeal in high energy for God and serving God. Amen. And when we think of this, that energy should be put into the development and deployment of disciples for God, because that's what we should want to strive to be. Shouldn't just want to be a member of Roanoke Salem, a member of any church. We all should try to strive to be men and women disciples, working and doing kingdom work. When I think of, like I said, having that zeal and that energy, when you come to church, don't need the pastor to pump me up. Don't need the choir to pump me up. You should have every man of God, I want you to hear this, you should have a hallelujah praise in your hearts when you step in on this holy ground or wherever you at. Don't need to be pumped up. Should never be that way. Should never be that way by the time the pastor get up here. He's worn out mentally because he's pretty much trying to pump you up throughout the service before he even gets up here to preach. So remember that. And even when his preaching shouldn't be that you entertain when in the aspect of that part of preaching. If you don't come to church to be entertained, whether the choir's singing or whether the preacher's preaching, it's not about, he's not entertaining you per se for that enjoyment. You're here to hear the sound doctrine and what has been given to him by Jesus Christ. So to make you live better as a man or a woman in Christ. All right. So let us remember that. And when I said that high praise of hallelujah, reminds me of Pastor William Murphy. For those of us who listen to gospel music, he sings a song called Praise Is What I Do. And in that, he talks about praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am, and I'll praise you while I can. I'll bless you at all times. So men of God, have that zeal. Bring the Lord and Savior in the house of God with you. Because if you got a hallelujah praise in your heart, that means you can help the man of God say some more amens and he'll get through his sermon. All right. Then we talked about the family structure. All right. Every man should be like as Joshua said in Joshua 24:15b. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So every man of God, remember, that's part of your responsibility. This eating, what we're talking about, God commanded the man. I know some women there, women single parent households, women have raised children. But like I said before, I honestly believe every God-fearing woman wants a God-fearing man beside them, and they can lead together and rear children and do what they're supposed to do. But it's the man's responsibility. And always when we look at this thing, because when we get to this Genesis thing, I use wisdom as given to me God. It's parts of the Bible where we can look, where somebody was saying it was always woman need to do something to a man to bring him down. Remember, God told Adam not to eat that fruit. He didn't command Eve not to eat that fruit. All right, when we look at it, God told Abraham that he was going to give him a child. Even though Sarah told Hagar to go and he slept with her, the handmaid, and have a child, God still told Abraham that he was going to have a son. So I don't look at and blame women for anything. Every man can stand on his own two feet and be held accountable, because it's accountability. It was accountability in the Garden of Eden, and it's accountability right now. Men's reasonable service. All right. Brother Pastor, we're getting ready to come on out now. This last part right here, universal. Every man should treat every man the same, no matter what status he holds. A man, if President Barack Obama was to come in here, he should be treated the same way as any other man is in here. Remember, he's a man, even though he's the former president. I'm using an example of high esteem. We need to remember What if God would have felt that way about us? You know, where would mankind be? I think we kind of all know where we would be. And we look in that aspect, that every man should be treated at the same level. All right? There's no person who we should come across that we make them feel of low esteem. At all times, we should put persons in a place common the way we treat children. Treat somebody the way you want to be treated. All right, that we should always bring somebody, and if they are of a lower state, don't make them feel that they are of a lower state. But you see, I'm so glad on this morning that I know a man who thought it was not robbery. That he sat high and he looked low, but he had the ability to know that mankind had to be redeemed back to God. So he said to his father, prepare a body for me. I'll go down. I'll take on the form of humanity and divinity and go amongst men where I would preach the word of God and teach the word of God, where I'll heal the sick, the lame, and the blind. And when the work was done, that our Lord and Savior Jesus died on a tree called Calvary. They buried him in a borrowed tomb where he stayed there all day Friday and all Friday night. All day Saturday and all Saturday night. But it was early on Sunday morning. He got up with all power in his hands. Power, saving power. Power, sanctifying power. Power to redeem man and get man back to his rightful place. And on this morning, we want the men of God to know that being a living sacrifice, being spiritually transformed, being humble, exercising the gifts that God is giving you, showing love to your brother man, and having a zeal to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, man's reasonable service to God. Thank you.
Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord for this word on this morning. Man's reasonable service. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word in the person of Deacon Brian Jones. Reasonable service, man, that means that's the least we can do. That's the least we can do in accordance and looking at how good God is to us. That's the least that we can do to try our best to be all that he's called us to be. And what I love about our Lord Jesus and all of us, men and women, if you've been walking with the Lord any period of time, you know this. What I love about the Lord is where we fall short, he'll strengthen us. Because he said if we ask for his help, he'll help us. He knows where we're weak. He knows where our shortcomings are. But he said, if you ask me to help you, I'll help you. Matter of fact, he said, when you are weak, then I'll be strong for you. So I thank God that he's that kind of God. And I thank for Deacon Jones for this inspirational message on this morning. Men, our reasonable service.